believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for heroes. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
We have to teach them well and let them lead the way. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world, to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the Youth. I am your host, Kathy Clyburn, for Bring Back the Family. And, you know, I'm happy and I'm glad that you chose to tune in to bring back the family focused on you. Okay? First, we're going to acknowledge God with the scripture and a prayer. Oh, boy. Look, I am all off key here. A scripture and a prayer, and that scripture and prayer is going to be led by Miss Jackie Vandergriff. And let me turn my mic on. I'm slipping today. Jackie Vandergriff and a prayer by Miss Rebecca Johnson. Welcome, you guys.
Welcome. Hi. How are you all? A living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we'll all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Take what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confidence, hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of this word. Amen.
Amen. Hello, this is Sister Rebecca Johnson. Thank you. Jackie Vandergrift, Ms. Vandergrift, it's so good to be here with you tonight. And let us pray. Our Father, God of heaven and earth, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Thank you for all the listeners and all those who will contribute to the discussion tonight. I ask that you bless each person that is listening now or will listen in the future. And bless Sister Deaconess Kathy for her sacrifices and contributions to assist the ones with the purest hearts, children. We thank you that your work through her inspires each of us to make our own sacrifices. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that we have already received and for the opportunity to come boldly to your throne to ask for even more. We thank you for Pastor O and his wisdom to produce this show. I ask that you please give us the courage to be uncomfortable as you show each of us ways to nurture and protect children in need and right the wrongs we see in our neighborhoods today. We thank you and ask for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for that scripture. Hey, you got to start it off with God because he owns it all. Okay. So, yes, you are tuned in to Bring Back the Family. Excited. A show that focuses on the youth. And, you know, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we as parents and community need to do for our youth and our kids, our children, educationally, professionally, spiritually, and just being totally in tune and involved in every aspect of their learning and their life in order for our youth, them to be good, productive citizens so that they are able to contribute and to be a contribution positively to society and others all around this beautiful world. Wherever they go, we want them to be a positive influence and be contributors wherever they go around this world. And, you know, all they need is a good foundation. Who did it for us? Somebody did it for us. So it's our responsibility to do it for them, our youth. They need our help, okay? They need our help from me, from you, the community, the churches, the what they say, the village, okay? And how do we propose to do this? Block by block. Imagine, block by block. Wherever you live on your block, on your street, on your block, do something for the youth on your block. Do something for the youth on your block. And it's just simply just giving back. Giving back what you was given. Caring, sharing, love, encouragement, you know, buying books, going on outings, a book club, activities. Anything that you could think of, whatever somebody gave you that inspired you to be who you are, to do the things that you do, the things that you love, you know, you had a gift, somebody brought that gift out, and we need to look at our kids and the youth in front of us and see what gifts they have and point it out to them so that they would know, so that they know that they have gifts, because they do have gifts, but they don't know. It's a lot our kids don't know, and it's up to us to be able to tell them and inform them of all the things that they're going to run into in this life. It's for us to teach them and train them and be a good example for them, be their leaders and their guiders, model good behavior, be their encouragers, their teachers. And they'll learn. They'll learn by the, you know, the skills and the whatever impact we have on their life and their learning. And they learn from examples from us, by things that we did in our personal life. We can share our stories of what we went through, give them lessons from our own life experiences, okay? That's the best they could get. We always talk about what a good life we had, what we did back in the day, and how, you know, the communities were what they were. They were good communities, villages. You could get help anywhere you went. You could get help with your neighbors, friends, your your extended family, those grandmas and those uncles and aunts, and everybody was willing to help back then. And so those are the experiences that we had as kids. And can you imagine our kids being able to look back and see, you know, the things that we saw so that they could go forward? We wouldn't have been able to go forward if we hadn't have been taught some of the things that we were taught. Okay? The life experiences, conversation. We're their first teachers. We're the first ones they see. So they're looking at us. They're watching us. The littler they are, the more that they grab and learn. And I'm just learning, watching my little guy, little Javon, little Pooper, I call him. And he watches everything that I do, everything. And then he try to do it. So you know that they can learn. You know that they could be great people. But we have to teach them to be great people. We have to teach them to be great and good children. We have to teach them to grow up to be good, productive citizens and good, productive adults. Mm-hmm. That's what we are. We're good, productive citizens. And that's what we want our, the next generation, to grow up to be good, productive citizens. You know, like we all be saying, a lot of kids don't want to go to college. They might not go to college. But we have to show them a way to go. We have to show them, you know, give them work ethics. They're going to go to work because they see us going to work. Mm-hmm. And they're going to know how to behave on their jobs and things like that because they know that we behave. You know, they're not going to hear us come home and talk about negative on our job and how we talk, you know, down to the boss or disrespected this person, disrespected that person, because they're listening and they're going to do whatever we do. So we have to always, always be putting on our good in front of every kid, in front of everybody, even adults, because some adults don't even know how to act. You know, and so they still learn it. But if we show out, then they're going to feel like, okay, well, let me just keep showing out. Everybody can learn from somebody. You know, we want the best for our kids. We want the best for our youth. We're going, you know, it's a lot going on right now. It's a lot of the youth are just, they're just lost. They're lost. And I don't want them to be lost. And I know you don't want them to be lost. So this is an opportunity for us to give back, an opportunity for us to help, an opportunity for us to make this world a better place for our kids to live in, okay, for our youth to live in. Because they're going to grow up. They're not going to be babies a long time. They're going to grow up, and it's our responsibility to put that, what they need in them right now so that we don't have to worry about them later. We give them what they need right now. We won't have to worry about them, you know, going out and into the world. You know, our parents can, they can rest easy. They can rest easy because they know that they did the best that they could do. They know that we out here representing them well. Okay, representing that family name well. And that's what we want the next generation to do, to be able to represent and carry that torch and take that name to the next level, way better than whatever way we did it. We want them to be way better, okay? And that can be done. But, you know, they need our time. They need our attention. They need us to really be involved. Yeah, they need us to be involved. And, that one-on-one time. And you can't get that time back. So if you spend that time now, you know, just put that time in with them. You know, they'll make you proud. And then, like I said, you won't have to worry about them. They didn't ask to come here. And this is their time. It's their time. Okay? So I like that song, the greatest love of all. Believe the children are our future. They are our future. So we have to teach them well so that they can lead the way. That's a powerful song there. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Bring out everything inside of them. Bring it out, you know, all the beauty of everything that they have. Yeah. So give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how it used to be. Don't you look back and just laugh at some of the things that we used to do as kids. I still laugh. We sit around as a family. Look at this little boy come and beat me up. Oh, little rascal, get lost. He got a pillow. Come and hit me with it. He's so cute and cuddly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I said, let the children laugh to remind us how it used to be. You know, he's going to remember hitting me with this pillow, you know. He's going to look back. I used to hit Aunt Cat Cat with the pillow. Yes, she did. And so, you know, if you think about how you look back and how as kids we used to just laugh and just have so much fun playing in the street, climbing trees. You know, whatever we did, you know, going to the park, riding our bikes, and we could walk the streets freely. And right now we still laugh about all the fun that we had back in the day. We still laugh about it. 60 years old now, and we still laugh about all the fun that we had. So wouldn't that be great for our kids to be able to have the same life experiences that we had and better? And better. Yeah, so I like that. Teach them well and let them lead the way, because there's going to come a time where they have to lead. Yes. They're going to have to lead, and they're going to have to be leading us. After our parents got a certain age, we became the parents for them. We said, okay, Dad, and no more driving now. We're going to drive you where you need to go. So if we don't teach these kids how to drive, how are they going to help us and take care of us and lead us in any kind of direction that makes sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how? So that's why we have to teach them to be leaders. We teach them to be leaders. I'm going to beat you up. I don't know why he want to beat me up today. Yeah. So... So we got a lot to talk about today. We got some resources. We're going to talk about GTA, portfolios, resources, jobs, careers, skilled trades, parent involvement, which is very, very important. Parent involvement, which is very, very important. They're the ones that, you know, they're the leaders, you know, and they're the teachers. And they make all the decisions for us, you know, the parents do, you know. So if you're giving them that time that they need, then, you know that you were an involved parent when they grow up and they could come back and do something for you, you know, help you out, keep you from driving when you get ready to get out there, drive when you're 95 years old and know you can't do what you used to do, okay? So we're going to need them to come back and help us. So parent involvement, you know, and don't just talk about a lot of different things, jobs, careers, skill trades, and all that. So, hey, and if you want to get in the conversation, you can press 1 and feel free to comment and just, you know, get involved. Get involved. Just think about what you can do on your block. Or what you could do for your youth that you have right there in the house with you, how you could better their life, better their grade point average, better their school, better their, you know, their reading scores, better their everything, their spelling, you know, how. So, mic's open. Miss Jackie got a lot of good information for us. We're going to talk about the grade point averages and how you can raise your grade point average. What's important about a portfolio? What's involved in a portfolio? Do our kids even know anything about portfolios or what a GPA is? Or the skills that you need to be successful, to be a successful student? Do they even know, you know? Do we even have those conversations with them? Do we even know if they can read? Do we ask them to read to us? Okay? Yeah. Just put a book in front of their face. But this little one, I put a book in front of his little face every morning. I had a little book that teach him how to use the potty, and he was sitting there reading it. I read it to him two or three times, and then I gave it to him this morning, and he was just sitting there, you know, reading, and later on it was down, and he wouldn't pick it back up and was sitting there reading it again or looking at the picture. So he's learning. He said, this is something important here that I need to learn. So he picked it up and was reading it for himself. So if you do that and put a book in their hand, they'll pick a book up by themselves and get used to reading it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the training ground. Right there, those little ones are the training ground. And you put a lot in them little ones when early, then you'll just be amazed at what they can do. Amazed. So, Ms. Jackie, what you got for? What's all in this GPA and this portfolio? What's going on?
I think that we need to start focusing on the grade point average when they're little. And I remember back when great teacher. She used to, how she would have the kids become competitive. She would teach them in kindergarten about the king and the queen of the at family, the it family. And they had to learn how to study these words. Well, what she was teaching them is how to be competitive within yourself. So if you're taught at an early age that a grade point average is important, the more A's that you get, the more what it stands for. But it's a little bit deeper than that, because you can have straight A's and somebody can beat you out in your grade point average. You can have a 4.0, and somebody else could have, I even saw in the studies today that where they even went up to a 5.0. But that's when you have extracurricular activities, and you have to know what curricular activities are acceptable and will be acceptable for you to receive a point or a half a point in honors class. That's a half a point of AP's point. Some of those are college curriculum courses in high school to help you with that grade point average. But, you know, some of the things that I was looking at, and I tell young people, whenever you see extra credit, always do the extra credit. Because if you slip up and not get the best grade on something, that extra credit points is going to help push that grade back up there. Okay? But there are certain habits that we all need, whether you in elementary school, high school, college, working, homemakers, whatever your profession is, you know, doctors, lawyers, you need to have good habits. Mm-hmm. And they say that good habits, you can break old habits in 30 days. Some say 21 days. by practicing good habits. And you don't have to tie your whole self out, but make sure that you set time out to study. If it's an hour, you do an hour every day at home studying, nothing but studying. You can't help but becoming the best in that subject. But when they was talking here about your grade point average high school students,
mm-hmm.
it said of classes you don't need. So if, and I'm not talking about the requirements that you need to graduate. I'm talking about your extracurriculum. If you don't have an interest in it, don't go in that direction. Go into a direction that you have an interest, because when you have an interest in something, what you're going to do is give it your best. Now, don't be afraid of a tutorer. A tutorer is the only person there to teach you how to understand that a test is only a review of what you know or what you need to know. So everybody depends on a tutorer. They have, at some of the universities, and I know when I was in school, they had at college, they had people that was going for their PhD. Part of their paying forward, they had to give up so much time, maybe an hour a day, to sit in and help any undergrad. If it was English, well, let me teach you how to write correctly. Let me show you the format. They were tutors. They would take their work and they would look at it, and they're the buffer in between. So if they're marking it up, they're only doing it for your the betterment of you, because they're mm-hmm. showing you. So when you get there in front of the professor, who really is already paid and don't care if you make it or not in college, because they already have theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to buffer in order for you to get to the next level. So embrace tutors. Parents, always find someone, and all tutors, they have tutors at school. All tutors don't cost you, but you have to find somebody that's a professional in that field that is going to be able to uplift you or help you to get to from point A to point B. Don't be shy of asking for help. Now, speak with your instructor. If you don't know something and the teacher has taught it, go to the teacher and say, I don't understand it. When can you take the time to? But you have to be, and that's a part of leadership. You have to be the one to be, go forward and say, hey, I need help. And
mm-hmm.
this is a singular. Turn your assignment in on time. And now, I don't know what's going on at the school, but I do know that the computer, if the computer says something that's due and the teacher hasn't changed that on the computer, get it in. Let them tell you it's early. Say, oh, I made that mistake, but you got it in. So always meet your time. Time is a time management is very important, because you know what? It's teaching you whether you own your own business or you're working for somebody else, how to meet deadlines. Like this show has started at 7 o'clock. The listening audience do not care that you're not prepared. You only have one time not to be prepared, and you will lose a listener. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why those little things about getting your assignment in on time it's also those little things, those little nuggets that's going to be what you need, the little things that take you to the next step. This is very powerful. And you know, today it's kind of difficult, but, you know, with technology, you can do it. Find a study group, somebody with like-minded, or somebody you want to be in that circle of like-minded. You want to learn how to do it. Make sure you get in the right study group that is not wasting time. Study topics as you go. Well, you know what? Some topics you can look around, and some of the topics that you might have to write about is right there in front of you. If you're writing something on third world countries, all you have to do is now you have your technology on the computer, and you could just put in how are third world countries being affected by today's economy. And all type of stuff will come up. And note-taking. I remember, Kathy, when we were in school, you were in a junior group under us, but sometimes the teachers would have notes on the board, and you had to copy those notes off. Mm-hmm. They would give you all week to copy those notes, and they would remind you. And then on Friday, you were having a test, and you only could use your notes. And if you didn't have notes and they wanted it, the answer from your notes. That was note-taking skills. And if you, the next mm-hmm. time, if you found the next time, you made sure you took those notes because you did not want to fail a test that easy. So, but you know what? There's other things that is important for our youth, Kathy, and I don't know if you want to touch mm-hmm. on it. Them studying for the SAT that colleges are looking at, that in some cases can be high, more important than the GPA.
Mm-hmm.
And that portfolio.
I know that. I know that, what is it called? Oh, boy. You could go and take the test as many times as you want on this, what is it called? I told Jacob to sign up for it. College Board. It's a site called College Board. And so every high schooler should be registered on the College Board app so that they can practice those SAT tests. Yes, so and that is a very important grade that you have to have. What is it? A score that you have to have in order to get into college.
But I'm glad you brought that up because mm-hmm. I'm going to check the College Board out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
yeah.
You know, it's so important. We have to sometimes be the eyes and the ears to make sure, and you know what, and be open to know that somebody else might have something that a gift, God has given them a gift, to be able to reach out and be effective towards your youth. So, you know, we have to thank people like Kathy who has this gift with talking to young people and kind of and steering them in the right direction. You know, God has given her a gift to for them to understand her language. sometimes they don't understand me because I'm just just all cross the T's and dot the I's, but Kathy has that natural gift to for them to relate to, you know, and she and the Lord has blessed her to work with these young folks that that is amazing. But
it's so true, and
like
I'm inspired by her too.
I didn't hear you, Rebecca. Was that you?
That was me. I said that's so true about Kathy, and I'm inspired by her too.
You're right, but you know what? Kathy, you wanna kind of lead it off about the portfolio?
Okay.
I
was gonna say something else about the College Board. So the College Board, it shops you around to different colleges, and they send you information on all the colleges and things like that. So you have to register for it, and then the parents can be can register too, and then they can see what their the colleges that are interested in their kids, and then what they're doing on their SAT scores and things like that. So I'm going to have more information about that on the next show. I guess you just go to Google and look up College Board, and you can register, just like you register for anything else. And like I said, you'll be able to go over there and take your SAT practice test as many times as you want. Yeah, you know, because those tests cost a lot of money to be able to just take. Yeah, so, okay. So, yeah, portfolio is like volunteering. So,
portfolio is like volunteering is a part of the portfolio. But it's a snapshot of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, Kathy, the volunteering is your community service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry for cutting you off. Yeah. You're right. That's
everything that you do in your life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, how great are you, that portfolio, when you are sitting down, this what you need to do, and this is to young people, put yourself in the administrator's position, and somebody's coming to you, and they want to present the best of themselves, and they want a snapshot of who Jackie Vandergrift is,
mm-hmm.
and we want you to embrace us, and we want to have that drawing power. Where we want to be a magnet that you want, and you just have to have us at your university. So that's where you come in, because, and you were speaking earlier, Kathy, the role
mm-hmm.
that people need to be, how important the church is for to help them with that portfolio, because
mm-hmm.
you do a lot of things that that helps out, and I think Rebecca, I think you do a lot of things to help get the service together on Saturdays and Sundays. You don't want to talk about
everybody
that?
Everybody
have a role to play. Go ahead, Rebecca. Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with the portfolio unless it's art student. Does it look like a resume? It sounds like a resume.
Well, you know what?
Yeah,
it's like they call it almost like a scrapbook or a sketchbook
mm-hmm.
of your life, showing or it could be digital. Some
schools have a
digital portfolio, and that's where, like, you have a collage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in school And you, one of the things that you did, you led a team to go on the golf outing.
Mm-hmm.
You were the captain of over the younger people to make sure that they had a stellar game. You are the captain of that team. Well, now in your portfolio, you're going to say, well, I led a team, and this team of young 8 and 9 year old elementary students on the, at the golf outing to make sure that they held their clubs correctly, that they had their swings correctly. And we were able to work together, and we won the championship. And then you could show, have pictures in your digital or in your scrapbook, which they call a sketchbook, for your, in your portfolio. So it's almost like a, you know, we used to have the picture books that we would go on trips and the holidays. We would take pictures of experience that the family had together.
A scrapbook?
Well, right. You know how your photo book. You know when
mm-hmm.
you were growing up?
Scrapbook.
You know, right,
mm-hmm.
scrapbook,
family
books.
Family scrapbook.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your sketchbook or your digital portfolio, it's going to show these activities. It's a movie of you, to showing that you have leadership ability. You have personality, part of your accomplishments, job history. And the thing about it is a lot of people, even adults, your activities and the things that you volunteer in church goes on your resume. Those are the skills that you learn skills, like the church secretary. I remember a young lady, and Kathy, we was talking about that. This lady, she was the head secretary for the minister.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine that is a great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
A top executive, top company hired her, because if you can be a secretary for a minister and keep his everything in order, you're number one. We want you, okay? Because that person has major skills. And so things that people do, like things that they audio, video, they are on, like, for instance, service is online now because of whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
They take somebody in the background to make that happen and to make sure it's a perfect program, because people are depending on that prayer. Or they are depending
mm-hmm.
on that song. That song is what some of them, it's really what they needed for that moment to get across that bridge of what was going on. And that special song or somebody's song, a song that touched their spirit or their soul, it can skill.
Mm-hmm.
All of you can use now on your resume. For jobs, for your portfolios, because.
So if anybody wants to, I was just taking a break. Let it. If anybody wanted to respond to any of that, they could press one and have a word to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all kinds of portfolios. You have, like, your school portfolio, a job portfolio, art, like you said, you do art, a art portfolio, a modeling portfolio, So if you were doing art and you were going for a job, you would have all the artwork that you do, all the things that you created in your portfolio for them to look at. I know some young people like to do those caricatures where they do cartoons and do the different caricatures, and they have their portfolio from when they were small to when they, you know, become an adult, and they could take that work that they used, that they did, you know, that's their portfolio that they've been adding to and adding to over the years. And so they can go in and people can see their work, and they can hire them, or they could get them a scholarship for what they see, the artwork that they know how to do, that they're good at. And so they could get scholarships for that, work and go to school. And, and like you say, it's like your resume. And if you're a model, you know, they have a modeling portfolio to where you know, you take pictures of yourself and modeling, and they, you know, you get a job with those things. And so like a school or a college portfolio, it has you have to do a portfolio before you graduate. So it has everything in there, like your resume, your personal mission statement, let me see, your career assessment, mm-hmm. academic tests and things like that.
And that's, well,
that your personal information,
true.
Yeah. Personal goals, history.
I like that because there are so many young people that's into digital art, and they are true natural-born artists sketching as a young person. That is very important for them to take the value of what they have been doing that casually. That work is valuable because that's your signature page. I like that.
It tells a lot, you know. Yeah, because like I say, you have a resume in there, your personal mission statement, your career goals, your personal assessment, all your academic tests, and you know your schooling is in there. Your personal information, your values, your goals. Your accomplishments, your job history, education, your training, and, you know, just recommendations from people that, you know, give you a recommendation for being, you know, an upstanding person. You know, when you go and ask somebody for a recommendation and recommend you for a job and that they know you well, and that's why you have to treat people well. As a young person, treat people well and always be upstanding, because you might need someone to write a recommendation for you for a job, just to say good things about you, because they want to know what they're getting. And so, and people are not going to put their name on the line for you if you're not an upstanding person or have the abilities to, you know, if you're in trouble. They're not going to put their name on the line for you. So that's why you have to always be, you know, a good natured, good upstanding individual person. And a youth, even a child even needs recommendation letters, okay? So that's important, parents, to tell, you know, your youth that they have to have good behavior. They have to be polite. They have to, you know, go to school and make sure they get good grades. And all these things that Ms. Jackie has talked about, Ms. Johnson has talked about, these are things that we need to tell our youth so that they can be aware of what they'll be faced with in the future. Okay. You got some other callers out there. You guys should just jump in. Your mics are open. You can jump in if you have something you want to talk about or comment.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
those are all very good points. It is.
Good deal. Hello, welcome.
I just like to comment. Those are very good points. And if a child or a young person starts early with their portfolio, like you said, they won't have to be in such a rush or panic when they go out on a job interview. Because one thing that employers look at is gaps in times or in schooling or gaps in employment. And so if they keep a running portfolio or a record of what they are doing, it won't be so hard to fill in those gaps. And like you said, names may escape them. If they have good recommendations from a job, they can just keep a copy of that so they can put that in their portfolio, because everyone likes someone that's dependable. And good references are essential nowadays.
For sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Sister Pierce. Go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt, but the statement she made me think about job seeking and how employers will look at your social media to determine if they want to hire you or not. So these young people need to be aware that their social media feeds are a commercial for them and their character.
Wow, that's deep. Yes, it is.
Yes,
and
it is.
That goes to show you someone's always watching.
And not just employers, also colleges, they check that too.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
The less
social media you have on there is probably your best bet. You know, if you have strong viewpoints about things, keep it to yourself. Don't put it out there, because once you put it out there, you cannot take it back. And what things you may feel when you're 16, 17, 18, well, you may not feel that way when you get 25 or 30. And you don't want that to hold you back because of some silly statement you made when you were a child. And they would definitely hold that against you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why it's up to the parents to inform these kids. And if you're on the social media that much, you're not really taking care of your business. You're not being busy. You're not putting that portfolio together. Yeah. If you're on there that much, you have work to do. You have work to do. You don't have time to be on social media like that. Mm-hmm. That's when you know you're taking care of your business.
Yeah. You know what? And it's amazing you said that, because
uh-huh.
There was a politician, I won't say the name,
uh-huh.
but they, at the age that they were and when they were in college, they brought up something that this person, somebody had a picture way back from college that might have shown the person was doing something, just being foolish at that particular time. But now they're 40 years old, and you want to go all the way back to that person when they were in college, and it was probably during a time of free spirit, and they were partying or whatever, maybe had too many beers or whatever, and now they use that against you. And I agree with you. I'm glad you brought that up about behavior on social media and how you can't take that back, and people will use that against you down the road, especially if you are a top contender for a position and you really want it, and here comes something dug up from the past that really has no value to you anymore. But yet and still, society will frown against you for that.
And Jackie, I remember a person was running for a political office,
and he was a college stunt, which was wrong. He did a blackface. A Caucasian man did a blackface, and one of and whoever his opponent was knew about it, or someone who knew him gave the opponent that picture. You know, something he probably had forgotten about. Okay, it was during Halloween, but it was something that was very inappropriate, and so he probably had forgotten about that. But see, but you never know what someone keeps. So you have to be very careful about photos and that you put out there and pranks that you pull, because, like I said, a prank you did when you were 16 or 17 is not going to seem a bit funny when you become 45. And people, they don't, and instead of you saying, well, you know, that was, he was a kid, they don't want to give you a pass. They don't want to get the pass. People have lost good positions because of that.
And that's the key. Some people can get a pass, but you always want to make sure that you put yourself in the position that you don't have to be one of the people, either somebody making a judgment call on you. Back when we were growing up, your parents used to say, and at the time we didn't understand it, don't have your name on every stop sign.
I've never heard that one, but it's funny.
But you know what it means.
That's a good one.
But even to that point, and young people have to know that we were young once. And the key thing is that we want them better than us. And I'm not saying we had a good childhood, but we want you to take it farther and take it to a height that maybe we didn't get to. Let us see through your eyes. And I remember a lady told me once, and it was wisdom. She said, there's a fork in the road. I went to the left. Can you go to the right so I can see through your eyes what it's like over there? And I will always remember and cherish that. And she and her people, they helped keep me on that straight and narrow path over there to the right. And I look back and I wouldn't trade. I wouldn't trade some of the experience that I had, because it was experience that money can't buy. We just want the best for our youth, because today's times, they have to start out being prepared, because they are competing against the world. You know, and I saw when I was looking at some of the information, and Singapore. Singapore, these people are opting for to do these jobs in Singapore, but they're not in Singapore. They're all over the world competing for these top positions. So we have to, our youth have to know how to market themselves in order with this digital, because now digital has taken over.
Yes, so many people are location independent. And, you know, I want to strive to be that myself. I want to be location independent so I can, you know, get an Airbnb and work from France or from Egypt and have the same job.
Yes. And never have to leave your house.
Or never leave the house, yep.
you know, you can, I mean, your personal time for you to travel is your time, but wherever you're traveling, your business is right there with that laptop or computer or how you want to look at it. You're on the go because whatever time it takes you to do what you have to do, you can do it from anywhere in the world.
All right. I learn every time I listen to this show. I'm so glad you mentioned that. There's several things that can really take you far. So if you learn as a youth to be competitive with yourself, that will serve you for life. Also, to have a love of reading to start life, that will serve you for life. And then time management. That'll get you through school and have you studied up for all your tests.
And you know what? And it's amazing you say that because I make sure that in the morning time I get up and I do my reading. I start off with my reading in my Bible. Enjoy that. You know, I have the markers and everything, and then I do my other reading for 20 minutes, and it's really strengthening the brain because as we mature, we have to make sure that we work on that cognitive skill even more so. Exercise that brain. And when you learn as a young person to love to read, you are able to exercise that, your brain waves, because you have to keep it.
That's going to have to be the new thing to make sure that kids read, you know, from infants, you know, start them out reading early, so they get used to it. Train them, condition them to read. You know, you give them the book, and if that's all they know is to pick up a book, that's what they're gonna do.
That's right.
Condition them early.
You know what? And that's true, but we have to make sure that they continue to have the love to read, because sometimes as they get older, if they don't see people around them reading, they'll somewhat pull back and stop the reading. It's the old saying, the apple don't fall too far from the tree.
Right.
You know,
take them to the library and make sure that they love it.
That's what Mr. McFall used
to take his kids to the library, and I mean, that's, they would stay at the library all day. They just love the library.
You know,
so, yeah,
I used to take
them.
Jacob to the bookstore, and we would have go and we would buy our book. And we would sit there and read. He would have hot chocolate and whatever muffin he wanted. We would sit in the bookstore, and we would just read. And that was our outing. And he really enjoyed it, because I don't know if he loved the hot chocolate and whatever. You know, he used to look forward to going to the bookstore.
It's that quality time. Just dealing with my little baby here. He in the morning I have like books for him to read, you know, and sit on the pillow. I have him a little spot. And so have his little vitamin, his little oranges and his grapes and things like that. And he just sit there and have his little meal right there with all the books around him, you know. And then we read. And so that's where it starts, you know. And, you know, when he get older, he might just start setting his little table up, and putting his little fruit on it and picking up his magazine or his book and just started reading. You know, they're going to copy that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just
but
amazing.
To, but
amazing,
like you say, Kat, you have
to learn.
Yeah, you have to
mm-hmm.
set them up. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. You have to be strong enough. And like you said, you have to set time apart where you sit there and you deal with it. When my grandson
mm-hmm.
comes to my house, he's 7, that tablet, he knows when he pull it out. You got to earn tablet time. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to realize technology right now is just, I mean, the AI technology right now that we're fighting against, like this new technology
mm-hmm.
called the ChatGPT, that's writing documents.
Mm-hmm.
You just put something in there. And now schools are fighting against this because now our brains are really going to become mush because all you got to do is say, it's writing code. It's writing papers. And schools are saying the kids are doing this instead of putting in the time and the work and stuff. And how can you tell if they, you know, the only way if everybody turns in the same paper, so we have to stay abreast on this new technology so we can look and fight for it and block it. You know, people, you know, they had cable in their homes, and they don't even take the time to go in and set up restrictions, you know, on their accounts and kids' accounts. And you can set it up also on their cell phones. So, I mean, we're constantly fighting against the technology, but we got to stay abreast
mm-hmm.
of it because our kids are on it, and we're not. And we can't say, well, I don't know.
Mm.
And we can't shy away and back away from it. We have to run to it, too, so we can say, so it's like now. So my 14-year-old grandson comes to me. I'm like, did he go on to chat on the chat GPT? I can go on there and pull it up
mm-hmm.
now and say, oh, yeah, he got this paper from there, and I can make him rewrite it. So it's a lot of stuff. This is AI technology, and this is what we're fighting up against.
Wow. So they can go on and get their own paper. Let me say this.
You know,
uh-huh.
maybe you can have a Zoom to teach us how to look for that because a lot of times, you know, this technology gets faster than us and we're around here saying to our young people, oh, I need you to do this for me. I need you to set
mm-hmm.
this up on the phone or whatever. But somebody like you that know how to go in and check this need to be training us.
That's a good
yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what to look for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the basic rights.
Yeah. It's, like I said, you know, like I tell people, you know, they even have companies. Like I tell, like, some of my friends, that why don't I have time to do that? I said, well, there's companies out there. If you want to pay them, they'll monitor your kids' phones and stuff. But you pay the phone bill. You can just call the cell phone company and tell them you need help and set the restrictions up. Your cable company, you can tell them to walk you through it. You paying this. You're paying for this. If you can't set the restrictions up, call and make them do it.
But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading something that the iPhone, I don't know if they changed the rules, but they were removing any restrictions for young folks.
The iPhone, I don't have an iPhone, so I don't know too much about that. And my grandson that has an iPhone, I told his parents to, you know, to go in and try to do this, you know, but when he comes to my house, that phone is in his hand, he has to put it down because we're talking, we're discussing things. You know, you're not going to be on the cell phone for, you know, 5 hours with your thumb going to fall off, you know. You know. I just don't allow it. I just don't allow it. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, it's like when we were younger, my mother would say, you represent me. When you walk out that door, you represent me. And
mm-hmm.
nobody better not ever come back and say something that's not right, you know. But parents are, they, you know, they're working, they're tired, or they just don't, you know, don't have the tools or don't know how. But it's a world, but that's why Kathy's here to, you know, to help us out with these type of things.
But you know what? Our children are an investment.
And that's what, and if something is that important to you and you're investing in it, and this is a mindset, okay, a mindset, and a lot of times that when you become more mature, you understand the value of that young mind. But when you are in your 20s, you don't have the full concept of what is needed, and like you said, shows like this can help either young parents, and it can help older parents. It can help all of us to be able to know a little bit. And when these young folks know you know a little bit of something, they say, "Wait a minute, I don't know how much she know." Okay, but somebody taught us, I am so important that we, like, one step at a time. I say, Kathy, say block by block. Well, that block by block is not just your children. It's a whole block. Because if they don't have stability at home, then it's going to be a different situation.
Yeah, you have to be in tune. You have to be in tune. We are working, and we, you know, we're here and we're there and everywhere, but we have to take a step back and just look at our kids in the face and just look at them, you know, and recognize them. You know, you my kid, and make sure that they okay. You have to make sure that they okay. We can get busy doing so many things, but we have to just kind of stay still for 1 minute to just look at our child, you know, look at our children and be in tune with them and find out what's on their mind, what they're thinking about, what they need, you know. A lot of kids are just raising themselves. So, yeah, all those things that we're working for, they're going to be there forever and ever and ever, and they're just going to get old and decay, and it's just, you know, it's going to be meaningless, actually. So, our kids are the prize. They're the investment, you know. They're the prize. And that's what we should be working hard to make sure that they're okay. Rebecca, did you have something you were saying? I think I had cut you off.
No, I just wanted to say that that's why that writing workshop will be so good, the basic writing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sorry I missed this show last week because when you were talking about college students that run out of money, that was me. And I went as an afterthought. I didn't have a plan. I overspent the money I received, and I opened a stack of credit cards. And it was just a hot mess, you know. There was no focus or preparation.
Yeah, no direction. We just get into it.
No direction.
No direction. No, you know, just go and be wandering in the wilderness with it.
Wandering in the wilderness.
Yeah. That was good. Okay. Well, gosh, a good show today. Great. I think, let me see, AV, you have some resources that you want to share with us. And then, Rebecca, you could run that list off again for, you know, different jobs and careers and things like that.
I will have scholarship information. My apologies. Work has been extremely busy. We're running like 10 or 12 hour days, so... I will have scholarship because this is the time of the year to put in for scholarship. So I will have some information on scholarships. And, Kathy, I'll try to send a link to what I was talking about this new AI.
Okay.
So you can send that out. It's a YouTube video about it where you can see and you can actually see how it works. Okay, there is a lot of jobs, and I am also going to reach out to DAPSET because they did their registration for spring and summer, and I'm going to see. And usually if they don't fill up, they'll open it back up, and I'm going to reach out to my contact there. And then also I'm going to reach out to the MAP Corps program at Wayne State, which is another free program which helps kids with math issues. And I've reached out to a couple people to get some information about some summer STEM programs. I'm trying to find something that's free or very, very minimum cost, because I know things can be, little programs can be so expensive. So, and we want our kids to be able to participate, and if everything's not such a hardship, you know, for them. So there was, we posted some jobs on our church website, and let me pull that up. It's a lot of jobs that came out. So there's going to be a hiring event, which is going to be this coming Tuesday, and it's called Camps. KAMPS Palace, and they're located in Taylor, Michigan. The address is 20310 Pennsylvania, and this information is posted on our site. So they're going to be hiring. They need people to make, they need pallet builders, saw operators, and pallet repair team members. This job is also open up to people that have convictions, but it's so if you know somebody who, you know, may need help that's been, has a record, been have certain convictions, they still can apply for this. So it's full-time positions, and the starting salaries are somewhere that's been up to $60,000. So I'm not sure where that is, but that's going to be this Tuesday, and if you look, they have a contact phone number on there also for you to reach out when you go to the site. And there's a couple more jobs that's listed. Most of the jobs listed on this one, some of them they were far out, but I did post them. And then, but if you sign up to Michigan Works, Michigan Works has a bunch of jobs out there listed. So on February 1st, Superior Ambulance Open House is going to be February 1st, and it's going to be from 11 to 1. And if you go out there, they're going to give you the location. Also, Michigan Works will be doing a virtual job fair February 7th from 1 to 4. If you go out and register, they will assist you with that job fair February 7th with Michigan Work. So I signed up with the one for South, for the Downriver area. Then New Boston Rail Service, they're also hiring. They're looking for Carmen mechanical crew members and conductors. And if you remember this, like, what, less than a month ago, that the government had to step in for the federal, you know, the railroad employees, because they were going to strike. And if they strike, nothing's moving across the country. And you got a lot of these men and women that are retiring out. So they need to, you know, this is another job that, you know, good union job. It's a federal job. So you got federal benefits and things with that. Most of these companies, they fall under the federal, you know, federal guidelines. And then always look, just remember to look on our site for jobs. And if you have any questions, you can just, if you want to reach out to me, you can just contact Kathy, and she can let me know. You can provide your contact information, and I will do that. Reach back out to you and try to provide that information. And I think that's all I got. And if I went too fast, cool. I apologize. It's been a long workday.
Wow.
Work day.
Wow. What was that Superior Ambulance?
It is, that's on the Michigan Work site. It's going to be February 1st, okay, from 11 to 1, and the site is 25408 Mile Road. That's where they're going to be hosting that.
Oh, 8 Mile. What is it? 2 what?
25400
mm-hmm.
8 Mile Road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the driver ambulance. It'd be a paramedic. Mm-hmm. What is it called?
It's not saying, it's saying, let me see, the open house, come join us, and they said learn about careers. So, yeah, so paramedic or maybe dispatch too, I don't know.
Okay.
But, I, like I said, the Michigan Works, it always has tons and tons of jobs. Like, they have another job on here, like Michigan Medicine, the U of M, Ann Arbor. I mean, where Michigan, they're hiring in Ann Arbor, but they're going to have a job fair on February 9th. They're looking for custodians, cooks, and food service workers, and they're listing their wages. Every wage in, listed is $18 and up. Let me see. What else is out here? Tiger Stadium is going to be hiring. They're going to have a career at Comerica Park on January 31st and February 6th from 11 to 2. So they have some information out there. And then even the Michigan Department of Corrections, Thursday, February the 2nd from 10 to 4, this is for the Women's Huron Valley Correctional Facility. They're hiring. So it's jobs out there. I say just tell people to register for that site and go out there and look at those job opportunities.
Good deal. I wish to get some of these young men hired at some of these places. You know, you and June was doing that, you know, the resume building and all that. So some of these young men that need a job, we might have steered them to some of these places.
Yeah.
Get them ready.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, AD. And like I said, we're very fortunate because we have one of our associate ministers who's a correction officer who provides us with the jobs to help people that have been in those situations. And it's a lot of companies that's willing to hire them. So there are job opportunities out there for those people that may have been set back in their lives.
Yes. All right. Good information. Good resources. Okay. What you got for us, Ms. Rebecca?
All right. You know that railroad conductors, locomotive engineers that she mentioned is on my list of careers that do not require college. So that's one. I want to start with the ones with the fastest growth, and those are, I'm going to name also the salary this time. So wind turbine tech, that's $53,000, and that was in 2019, and all these numbers are from 2019, so you can expect that it will be a little more for each one. The next one is rotary drill operators, that's $55,000. Makeup artists, $75,000. Hearing aid specialists, $53,000. Court reporters, $60,000. Electricians, $56,000. Computer support specialists, $55,000. So all these are on the list of having the fastest growth between now and the next 10 years. And then the list that I had before was X-ray tech, that's $77,000. Electrician, $56,000. Carpenter, woodworker, $80,000. Plumber, $55,000. Real estate agent, $68,000. Pilot, $121,000. Wind turbine technician, I think I said that already. That's on the fastest growth list.
Mm-hmm.
$53,000.
Wow.
Mechanic, $65,000. Firefighter, $50,000. Flight attendant, $56,000. Elevator installer, $84,000. Web developer, $85,000. Construction management,
wow,
$100,000. Court reporter, $60,000. Private detectives and investigators, $50,000. Postmasters and superintendents, $76,000. Fire inspectors and investigators, $60,000. Hearing aid specialist, $53,000. And that's the end of my list.
That is great. I like the X-ray technician. Boy, oh, boy. I still haven't gotten my hand X-ray yet. There is a shortage of X-ray technicians. It is. They said, don't call us, we'll call you. Isn't that crazy? So I'm going to tell some young people about this $77K for x-ray technician. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who else we have there? 3555? You want to have something to say? Your hand is raised. Okay, well, if not, you know, next week we're going to have on the young man that Sister Pierce had helped find his gift, and he graduated last week, and he's going to come on next week and share his experience and his story, and I just cannot wait. So we still congratulate Joshua for a job well done getting his heating and cooling certificate, and he's going to be able to work forever. Okay?
Yes.
So,
Can you
hear me? I hear you.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I was trying to come off of mute. This is Tara, and I just want to thank everyone for all the great information that I received on tonight. But I did want to ask, what is the church's website that the young lady mentioned that had the listing of jobs?
Okay. Yep. So it is RFMC Runner for Christ Ministries, RFCM.org.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, rfcm.org.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening. All right. Well, let's
Pat,
see.
Pat, also, if you like for me, I can send a link for, like, all the programs, like any of the construction, heating and cooling, all that programs, mm-hmm. and it tells you exactly how long you have to go, what's needed, and everything. I can send you that link also.
Cool.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thanks. And I'll make sure you get it, Miss Tara.
Thank you.
That's right. Thanks for listening. That's Josh's mom.
Ooh,
she'll be
yes.
back next week to hear.
Yes, the proud mom, Joshua.
Yes, proud of him. All right, it's let me see. Anybody else? Everybody's done. We're gonna bring that awesome O on so he can enlighten us some more. Awesome O, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, hey.
How's everybody doing this evening? I'm good.
It's wonderful. Hey, he said, "How everybody doing? Y'all still there? Give him a hearty hey."
Hey.
Good.
Hello.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed listening. As always, I was listening. First, I was online listening, you know, through my speakers, so I could, you know, hear real well, and then I said to myself, I better probably call in because I can't talk through the speakers, you know what I mean? But I like to listen through the speakers, especially when there's music or it's just so much louder than the phone.
Mm.
Yeah, but, you know, I was listening and everything is good. And, you know, All I heard was how we need both ends. And again, we need both ends. It brought to mind Psalm 119. And when we read these things in the Bible, remember these people lived real lives. They didn't live inside the temple 24/7, 365. They had a part to play in the real world. But how do you conduct yourself in the real world? How do you stay pure? And that word pure, when you see it in the Bible, we shouldn't think about pure white or pure behavior. What we should think about is a pure relationship. I only trust, lean, and rely on God. For instance, from the New Living Translation, Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man stay pure? That's the question. So when you see that word pure, it's not talking about not sinning per se, but how can this young man stay loyal to God? How can this young man stay in relationship with God? So that's the question there. And then there's the answer, by obeying your word. That's the answer. And so when Joseph left Jacob's house, brothers sold him into slavery, his cousins, the Ishmaelites, sold him to Potiphar into Egypt. What his father gave him concerning the word of God stayed with him. And remember, even up till Jacob, all they had was an oral tradition that was passed from one to the other. What God said to Abraham, God said to Isaac, God said to Jacob. And it just passes one to the other. But God didn't say to Joseph. So that means Jacob said to Joseph. But Joseph didn't go to Egypt to become the pastor of Egypt. He didn't go to Egypt to become a prophet in Egypt. He went to Egypt because he was sold into slavery by his brothers. But in the big picture, God knew that he was going to make Joseph prime minister of Egypt because God had a big, much bigger plan, and that was a part of it. And so what Jacob taught Joseph, as far as the word of God was concerned, is what kept Joseph the 13 years he spent in prison for being falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. What kept Joseph after he got out of prison and became prime minister of Egypt was the same Lord who at 30 years old gave him a word about how to fix the economy in such a way that they would not only survive the 7 years, but also survive and thrive enough to have enough for themselves and for the surrounding nations around them. Because Jacob was in Canaan and had to come to Egypt to get food where Joseph was. Joseph came to understand how the two came together. It was all secular how he was sold into slavery by his brothers. But it was all a part of God's plan so that many lives would be saved. So his upbringing was so important. That's why it says in Ephesians chapter 6 that children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's the right thing to do. But the parents have to be giving the children something they can obey from the Lord. If you're commanded to obey your parents because you belong to the Lord and it's the right thing to do, that means the things your parents are asking you to obey come from the Lord's word. And so children have an obligation in this too. And I'm talking about youth, young people, and young adults. They all have an obligation to obey those who the Lord has placed in charge over them. Whether it's the biological parents, as long as they're going to somebody else, it's like when Avetris was talking about her grandchildren come to her house. They come under her parenting. Of course, observing the parents' whatever rules and regulations for their kids or whatnot. But in her house, okay, they obey, right? And the reason she wants them to obey because it's the right thing that God is telling her to teach them, and it's the right thing, right response from them to what they're being taught. So it's the same thing. As the little person that's growing up in your house right now, you recognize that they're watching you and that you're teaching them, and I'm pretty sure you expect them to obey you, and I'm pretty sure what you're expecting them to obey is right. We can't expect our children to obey wrong, even though a lot of times we tell them to do things that are wrong, like tell them I ain't here on the phone. That's wrong. Just teaching them how to baby lie. But anyway, that's a whole other class. So children have a responsibility to obey their parents, and parents have a responsibility to teach their children what to obey. And the, one of the best ways to do that is like 1 Thessalonians 4. You hear me talk about it repetitively over and over. Seek to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of those who are on the outside. Guess what, parents, grandparents, people who keep other people's kids, those kids are on the outside. So if you lead a quiet life, you mind your own business, you work with your own hands, you get their respect. And so they're learning. We should never forget that we are teachers. And we're teaching our children with everything that we say. Just like you say, the little one watches everything. You say one day, maybe they'll pick up a book, they'll sit down, they'll want to read. First, they'll grab the book and start playing with it. But they'll notice that it's something that I want to be involved with because you're involved with it. And then you can, when they start to read, give them the right books to read, and then parent, be prepared to be able to answer their questions. So if you send them to Bible class or Sunday school, but you don't go and you don't really study, they might ask you a question one day. You want to be prepared to answer that question. And so we have a responsibility to our children to help them to get both ends of life. What we do real well is we give them the secular education, but we really lacking in the spiritual education. And that's what they need to survive. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in our places. So we owe it to our children to prepare them to be able to put out the fiery darts of the devil, to protect themselves against all the wiles of the devil. Because, you know, he is something else. And so we need to be able to teach our children. We should be able to teach our children how not only to survive the work world, which the Bible gives us information on that too in Colossians chapter 3, 22 to the end, telling us to work like we work for the Lord and not for man, knowing that we'll receive the inheritance that comes along with doing that and a paycheck. So we owe it to our children to teach them like the psalmist said. How do we keep children in line with God? By teaching them God's word. That means we need to lead them to Christ. We can't make them accept Christ, but we need to lead them to Christ. We need to live the Christian life in front of them in such a way that they want to be like us. If your Christianity makes people not want to be Christians, something's wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not super evil. Something's wrong with your Christianity and the way you're living it. You can't be doing it God's way because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. So your Christianity ought to draw people. If it's driving people, it's not working right. It should be a lifted up Christ in you that draws people. It's not you that draw people, but it's the Christ in you that draws people. The Holy Spirit in you ought to be attracted to the Holy Spirit in me. There should be a unity there. If not, there's a problem. So be what you want your children to be, but don't neglect the spiritual education. And they need both, because if you're going to be Joseph, Joseph didn't become pastor of a church. He didn't become one of the deacons. He wasn't one of the Bible teachers. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. And so he needed a real connection to the Lord to be able to understand that all the things that happened to him was in God's plan for him, because God intended to use him to save a whole lot of people's lives, just like it was the day he said that. And so if God intends to use our children to become the CEO of a company, he don't need them to start making millions and then the millions start making them. And then they're lost, chasing after money. He don't need them to, you know, remember Solomon. God gave him great finances and wisdom. And he went left. But he found his way back. This is when he writes Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. So what if we raise children that have a strong, firm spiritual foundation and God decides to make them the CEO or GM, like he made Mr. Hunt the CEO of the corporation ServiceMaster that I worked for that owned Chemline. And he at the top of it, and he was a Christian, and he had Christian stuff all over the place. It was a wonderful company to work for after I found that out and saw how high up God can take somebody. Everybody's not going to be a preacher, not going to be a deacon, but wherever they go, to exist there as a Christian, since the devil is going to be at them, they need to know the Lord's word so they can stand on that. And when the devil come with his wind and his waves, after it's all said and done, they suffered no loss, and they're still standing. And so, yeah, so it, we owe it to them to give them the secular and the Christian education so that they can succeed, not just succeed. Jesus wanted them to supersede. Amen. Not just make it. He wanted them to conquer. Because he's a king, he's a great king. And there's little brothers and sisters, and he wants people to know. Like he said, if you do what I say, like he said in Malachi chapter 3, if you do what I say, then all the other nations around you will call you blessed. He said that same thing in Deuteronomy 28. If you carefully follow and fully obey all these commands, then everybody around you will see that I'm with you. They took note of Peter and them, that they had been with the Lord. And so that's what we want to do for our children. We want to have them succeed in whatever field they go into, and not just succeed, but supersede it, super succeed.
Yes, sir. We want them to be the leaders. They are our future, and we're going to teach them well and let them lead the way.
Because they are. Because, you know, as life goes, people come, people go. People make their mark on history, and they go, whatever mark that is. It's like the sermon you heard at the homegoing celebrations, the one called The Dash. Our whole life is fit into a little drip drive. So you have all of the things that you're going to do are going to be in that dash. And that's it. You know, it's a big old giant date at the beginning of it, and another date, giant date at the end of it, but a little bitty dash to describe your whole life. And you get to put whatever goes on that zip drive.
Yeah.
When Jesus plugs in your zip drive, what contribution to our youth will he see on it?
All right. I love it. Block by block. Come on, y'all. Yes. Great.
What is that question you asked? What is our sacrifice?
That's our sacrifice. Yep. Gotta get those containers full. All right. Well, thank you, Pastor O. Was that it?
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Good stuff. So wrap up. Thank you so much. How may she be doing?
Oh, she's just fine. She's not
you
far from me, you know that.
Hey, Sheebie, you know we love you. Good deal. All right, well, hey, we had a great time this evening, and just want to thank everybody for tuning in and just being a part of the Bring Back the Family show and focusing on the youth, and, you know, we care about them, and we're going to do our best to help where we can, you know, and bring as many up as we could bring up. So that was a lot of good information tonight. Thanks, Jackie. Thanks, Sister Pierce and Miss Johnson. What else we got out there? AV, thank you so much for that information. We always look forward to you coming and giving us some good resources, and that's what we need, lots of resources so that we can give these parents resources for their kids so they can have something to do, so they can keep busy and be active and have some good activities and, so they get that portfolio filled up the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We're going to drown them with resources. So thanks, AB, for that. And thank everybody for tuning in. I see Mrs. Alzheimer's. Yeah, everybody, just thanks for tuning in. Let me see who else out here. Henry, I see you too. Yep. Always tuning in for everybody. Tuning in. We're going to have, like I said, next week, Mr. Joshua that completed his training in heating and cooling. He's going to come and tell us his story. Can't wait for that. Miss Buck, that's what I was looking for, Miss Buck. Hey, I see you out there too. Yeah. So, all right. Well, everybody clear? That's it. We're gonna go ahead and close out. If anybody else have anything they wanted to leave with us, so everybody's good. All minds clear. Go to that website, rfcm.org, for those jobs and those resources.
Right. Mhm. And that's what I wanted to say. Yeah, go to rfcm.org, click on Christian Resources, and click on Jobs Ministry. Just once you get to Christian Resources, just click on Jobs Ministry, and you're there. And there's got to be over 200 jobs here.
Wow. Man, oh, man.
And there's also a helps ministry.
Great. Wow. And what is that?
The helps ministry is like the jobs ministry, except it provides for things like, let's see, what do we have? A kindergarten enrollment program, community resource day, apprenticeship open house, need-based scholarships. Avitrius gives me all this stuff, too. I think the one for UPS had run out after Christmas, but take your next step, transition to higher education, math programs, home repair requirements, DAPSAT, and all about that, even coffee. And a whole bunch of other things.
So. Good deal.
Yeah, and I will. I'm going to be adding more information because that we're getting ready for the summer, and a program that's near and dear to me, which we participate. Is Gleaners and that backpack program for the summer. which a lot of schools provide mm-hmm. backpacks for kids for the weekend, and the summer is going to be coming, and that is very, very important. And our kids, we need to maybe, you know, do a volunteer thing or something with the kids so they can see how just important it is, you know, about that program. There's a lot of kids that, you know, and people that are hungry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, take a bunch of kids out and show them how to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Gleaners
Thank
often
you, Poopa.
And Forgotten Harvest comes over to the school right down the street from us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My little Poopa bringing me the toddler Bible, so he reading the Bible already. Go on and read it, Poopa. And he gonna be ready. Yes, sir. Okay, well, is that it? That's it and that's all?
That's it, I'm good.
Okay, great. Okay, well, thank everybody for tuning in. And tune back in next week. Tell somebody about Bring Back the Family, so that we can get a lot of people in here and get them interested in helping our youth. Okay, everybody do something on their blog. Tell them what Bring Back the Family is all about. And you know that we have work to do. Hitting cat with the pillow. Huh? You're so cute.